Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante along with Jeff Byers. Jeff, it's here. Spring game, blue-white game week.
It is a fun time of the year, if for no other reason than you actually get to see a little bit of football and you get to tailgate, Jim. That is what Penn State football is all about, and that opportunity to get together with friends, family, near and far. It's just a fun weekend, and I think it's a great opportunity for Penn State to reconnect with some folks that maybe can't afford the regular season games and everything that comes with it, to allow them to stay involved and feel connected to the program.
You know what, Jeff? I just think you may have had the order mixed up there. Opportunity to watch football and tailgate. I probably said it was a tailgating opportunity, and you also get to watch some football.
That's fair. I think you are absolutely right. I mixed the order up. My apologies.
I'll tell you what, there's actually a lot of other sports going on during the weekend. I want to briefly mention, I got the opportunity earlier this week to have on the show Coach Kroll from the softball team. And it's great the way the schedule is. They're at home this weekend. They're playing Friday night, but they're also playing Saturday. The game is scheduled at 4:30, so it's after the football game. So, Jeff, you can literally be at the football game, watch the spring game, and just walk right over to the softball field, which is right there just down the block on Park Avenue.
Which is the way this is supposed to be. And, yeah, I tell you, this softball team is putting together one of the historically great seasons in Penn State history right now. And Bridget Nemeth is winning just about every accolade that's out there. She's the national freshman pitcher of the week, Big Ten honors as well, and is 17-1 on the season, picked up a couple of complete game victories, including an extra inning affair against Nebraska, and also belted a two-run homer for good measure in the victory over the Cornhuskers. But that 17-1 record is very significant. That is the third highest victory total at this stage of the season in the country. And she is leading the charge, but this team as a whole is really doing some special things right now.
Well, Jeff, she didn't just hit a two-run home run. It was the game-tying home run late in the game. It was her first hit as a collegiate. So her first hit is a game-tying home run, and she pitches a complete game, extra inning, 10-inning game. So anyway, I saw them play a couple weeks ago. A lot of fun. Softball's a great sport. If you get a chance, if you're going to the football game, do yourself a favor. Just walk on over to the softball field, and you won't regret it. It's a lot of fun. All right, Jeff, let's get back to football. It is the spring game coming up. And let me just start with this. As a fan of Penn State football, what are you most looking forward to, other than the tailgating, of course?
Yeah,
what are you looking for in the football game?
It's one of those things. I think it's just kind of seeing some of the new faces and maybe the progress of a couple of guys. I mean, from the beat guys, it sure sounds like Tony Rojas is looking like he has taken that next step in his progression and has been an absolute force here in the spring. So excited to just kind of see him out there, to see Julian Fleming, to see Nolan Rucci. And, you know, I don't know how much you really get. I mean, there will be people looking for, all right, let's see what the offense is going to do, what the defense is going to do. I think it's going to be a pretty vanilla look on both sides in terms of what we're going to see in the fall versus what we see Saturday. But I think you do get an idea of, okay, this is how some of these guys are fitting in and looking. And the other thing for me that is fun, and I don't know how many people really look at it this way, but there is almost always when we've had the true scrimmage, which this year we're back to that, there's almost always that breakout star that then we never really hear from again. And I love those guys, and I love that opportunity that they have where you have a guy that's maybe a fifth-string running back that you're not going to see in the fall, but he goes for over 100 yards. Like, those are cool moments to me because it does give them a moment where they are recognized for the work that they're putting in for the program, and it gives them that moment in the spotlight. And so I look forward to seeing who those, a couple of players may be on Saturday. The guys that, again, will get a lot of attention on Saturday. People will talk about, well, maybe this is a guy that can work in and really be, a significant force, and barring injuries, just won't be in the fall. But those guys are important to the football program. We just had the wrestling banquet here on Sunday, and I'm just reminded of how important the guys that aren't in the spotlight, that aren't getting the big statistics, are to that overall development of the program and allowing the guys who are the starters, who are putting up the stats, to get better each week because of the looks they're getting on the practice field and the push they're getting from the guys behind them on the depth chart. So that for me is just kind of one of those fun things that I always look for, who's going to be that blue-white star that, again, we won't really hear from on a national spotlight again in their careers.
Well, I think the only difference might be this year, Jeff, where in prior years, that breakout guy for the spring game, it's often a running back and it's often a walk-on running back. I think the difference this year, and James Franklin even talked about how much depth is on this year's team, which is what's allowing them to have a normal scrimmage, a normal spring game as we know it. But it also, because of the depth, these guys, let's talk running back. I don't think we're going to see much Catron Allen and Nick Singleton. That's okay. I don't mind. I know I'm going to see plenty of them come the fall. I'm more curious to see what comes next. And the fact is, it's they want to fill that third string running back spot. So this is why my call for breakout guy is Cam Wallace. He's the guy that James Franklin has been complimenting. I get the feeling they'll feature him. He'll get a lot of play. And And it's not because I'm looking for him to take over first or second string running back. We know that's taken. But I want to know, is there a guy who's going to be ready come 25? And is there a guy ready in case some Catron Allen, Singleton, they twist an ankle? That guy might bump up to number two for a game or two this year.
And I think Cam Wallace is one of those guys who can make some contributions. One of the things that I'm expecting to see, and I don't know how much, again, we'll really see on Saturday with the blue-white game, but one of the things I do think we're going to see with the Andy Kotelnicki offense is a lot of different guys getting involved. And I do think with the running back load, I think it's going to be even more than it's been, both in terms of carrying the ball, certainly blocking, and then getting into the passing game as well. Like, I could see Penn State going three or even four deep on a pretty consistent basis. And the other thing is, Jim, I think you may see a little more often this year, like both Allen and Singleton out on the field at the same time, to, again, give some different looks, some different opportunities to create openings for those guys and for the offense.
Well, if we take a look at the offense, I mentioned Cam Wallace. You mentioned, it always seems like that running back bursts onto the scene for spring game, and it's always cool. Like I said, it's often a walk-on, but I think it's actually going to be we're going to get a look at that competition. I know a lot of people are also excited about seeing Quentin Martin, the true freshman. Or these guys, they're not even freshmen yet, Jeff. They're high school players who just happen to be here early, right?
Yeah, it is. It's so different from what we grew up with And it is hard sometimes, at least for me, to get my head around that, yeah, these guys haven't hit their high school prom yet, and here they are, you know, matriculating through Penn State and going through the spring practices with, you know, in some cases now guys that have already been here for 5 years at Penn State.
Right. And, you know, just sticking with that running back position, we mentioned Cam Wallace, we mentioned Quentin Martin, and then there's a London Montgomery. He was the guy from up my way, up Scranton way, who injured his knee his senior year in high school. So it would take a while. He was probably a little bit behind coming in as a true freshman. This is now his second year. It was interesting. James Franklin, in talking about him, said he always does something good when he gets on the field, but he hasn't yet changed his body yet. He hasn't put on the size that he probably needs to be a Big Ten running back.
Yeah, and I think, again, that will come, and I think that's part of the ongoing development for the guys and for the program. And it's funny, Jim, because I think I was just talking with somebody about this the other day, that it's like when you look at the depth in the secondary or the depth at running back, it's like, man, they are in such good shape. But it is so, and obviously you're hoping everybody stays healthy and it remains that way. But boy, you get an injury or two injuries at one position, all of a sudden, one, you're very grateful for that depth. And second, that depth doesn't quite seem as deep as you think it is when you have everybody healthy and ready to go. When you're down to a third or, you know, further down the depth chart guy, all of a sudden you're like, whoa, maybe we're not quite as deep as we thought we were. But I do think, you know, having that depth and the skill that Penn State does at some of these key spots, secondary and running back, to me most notably, but certainly others, tight end, and really I think the receiving core now, obviously we got to see how they produce. But I think, you know, as you mentioned at the onset, the depth in this program or in this program right now is really good. And I think it is allowing these new coordinators to come in and maybe tinker with some things that they haven't been able to at their previous stops, just because of the talent pool they have to pull from here at Penn State.
Exactly. And I want to follow up on that depth, because there has been a relatively serious injury at an important position, and it could give somebody an opportunity. We're going to talk about that when we come back in quarter two. Are you ready to elevate your game day experience? Then it's time for turnkey tailgating with Revel XP. You get to tailgate close to Beaver Stadium with our exclusive area next to the soccer field. Revel XP will provide the tent, the chairs, table, even the cooler and ice. We even partner with local food and beverage providers to cater your tailgate event. As someone has enjoyed tailgating with Revel XP, I know you're going to love it. Go to RevelXP.com for more info.
It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. He's Jeff Byers. I'm Jim Galante. We are talking Penn State football and the blue-white game coming up this weekend. And Jeff, we were talking about the depth that Penn State has all over the field, and James Franklin even referenced it and saying that makes it a little easier to have the scrimmage. Plus, it helps that he has 95 players or 97 players on scholarship right now. So, yeah, you're just deeper because of numbers. But we were talking first about the running back, and maybe we'll see some of the competition for that number three running back position. But this team, they've been pretty fortunate at running back, that Singleton and Catron Allen have been very healthy, especially for running backs. Now, I think part of it is that they've been able to share the load. That eases the injury concern, but especially at running back, that could happen. Let's shift to quarterback, though. I tease that there's someone who might get more of an opportunity. Probably pretty obvious what I was talking about at quarterback. We know Drew Aller's number one. We know Bro Prabula's number two. The assumption was Jackson Smolik would be number three. He suffered an injury. And all of a sudden, another one of these guys, Jeff, who should be worrying about buying that tux for his prom, is thrown out there as the number three quarterback. Well, the number three quarterback gets a decent amount of play in the spring game. We might just get to see an awful lot of Ethan Grunkmeyer.
Yeah, and I think Grunkmeyer's one of those guys that maybe is a little under the radar right now in terms of just what a talent he is. And obviously, I don't know where he's at in terms of his progression and understanding of the offense and all of the things that come with being a quarterback at the collegiate level. But I do think his talent, you know, both with his feet and his arm, is special. And I think this might be an opportunity. We're talking about those breakout stars. Now, this is a guy that I think down the road has a chance to be a star in the lineup. But I think it may be fun for fans. This is a guy that I would kind of circle as maybe just one to watch for that breakout game where he might hit a couple of long passes or break out on a big run and just get people buzzing about the depth at quarterback now as well. And so, yeah, I think he's got to be, not happy for his teammates' injury, but I think very happy and excited about the opportunity he'll have Saturday to just get out there and again, continue his development, get a feel for all of the things, again, that come into being a college quarterback, but to do so in front of the Beaver Stadium crowd. And if the weather holds, you know, you're probably looking at 70,000 plus that could be on hand here Saturday. That's got to be a pretty big deal for somebody that, again, not to keep harboring on the point, but isn't really out of high school yet.
Exactly. And I just hope fans realize, unless everything goes wrong, he's not going to be on the field for an important snap come fall. We are talking about 25 and 26, but this is your chance. Now, we never get a chance to see these guys in practice, as James Franklin will point out to us all the time. So we can't question his judgment because he sees the practice and we don't. James, whose fault is that? But here is our opportunity. And you don't go crazy if he throws an interception. But look for things. Look for him, you know, hitting someone on time. Look for some accuracy. Look for him getting rid of the ball before a sack. Look for some signs. That's what you can do. I'm excited to see him, Jeff. I'm not sure if you can tell, but I'm very excited to see Grunkmeyer play. Now, we have the question on the receiving end. Wide receiver, always a question mark. Now, the interesting thing, I think we all know who the first three are. Lambert Smith, Trey Wallace, and of course, you know, everybody's favorite transfer portal guy, Julian Fleming. I want to see Fleming get some kind of connection with Drew Aller. I want to see if there's anything there between the two of them, Jeff.
Yeah, for sure. And I'm also excited to see that kind of complete package that we're hearing he brings. And again, I don't know how much like the blocking of the receivers is going to be showcased here on Saturday, but I do think it's a big deal. And I think it's a big component that he brings to the lineup. Obviously you want him to produce at wide receiver and I want to see that too. I'm not saying my overall excitement is to go out there and watch him block, but I think it is an important, like a really key component to what he brings to the table here for Penn State is kind of that team first mentality. So I'm excited to see him out there, period, and all that he brings to the table. And yeah, I think we at least have some idea of what Penn State has with those top three. The two guys that I'm really going to be curious to see how they produce here on Saturday, and again, it's not going to be the end of the world if they don't get a catch or anything like that, but I'm really hoping that this is a season where Omari Evans takes kind of that next step and becomes a real factor in the offense. I think he certainly has that type of capability. And then, you know, Caden Saunders is a guy, Jim, that I really think could be an explosive player here for Penn State. And if they can get him in space, which I think is exactly what the Kotelniki offense is designed to do, I think he's a guy that could emerge here, not necessarily Saturday, but possibly Saturday, but in the upcoming season as a star. And maybe when I say star, I don't mean the guy that's leading the team in catches or touchdowns, but a guy that can create some big plays for you in key moments of game. So I'm curious to see all of the receivers and kind of how that passing game goes. But the two guys that I guess I'm going to be most keeping an eye on in that that regard are Saunders and Evans, and just kind of where we're at, if it's obvious some of the development here with those two in particular.
Jeff, I both love and hate that you answer my next question before I ask it.
Oh boy, sorry about that.
As you put it, the first three guys, we know who they are going to be, and I think we know what they are. I want to see Julian Fleming. I think we know what Trey Wallace could be if he's healthy. Keandre Lambert-Smith has his own interesting story, but it's the question: is there anybody else? And I'm not looking to get anybody out the door, but here's two and two, Jeff. There's 97 guys on scholarship, and there's 15 wide receivers on scholarship. The herd needs to be thinned. No other way to put it. It does. And the question is, I think there are several talented players there, but we've not seen them put it together. This spring practice, maybe it's already been determined with the first 14 practices, but I think we could learn a little bit, or, you know, what's the order that they go out there? Who is the guy that they're throwing passes to? And it's going to be interesting. And the couple names you mentioned, Omari Evans, Caden Saunders, it's a little bit of now or never for them and a couple other guys, isn't it?
Yeah, no, I would agree with that. And again, I'm hopeful and I'm excited to see what they bring to the table here on Saturday, hopefully, but certainly in the upcoming season. And I do think those are guys that have the ability to be impact players. It's more a matter of finding the consistency and maybe understanding the roles within the offense and that sort of thing. And that's where I think having an offensive coordinator like Andy Kotelniki can really make a difference for this offense and for some individuals specifically. And those two, in my mind, would be probably at the top of the list of guys that could be impacted by the way Penn State runs its offense this season.
Jeff, I'm going to mention this. I'm not sure there's much drama at the position. In fact, I don't think there's any drama at tight end. But it's still fascinating because there's no other position that I feel so comfortable about that, okay, this guy moves on, not a problem. Here's Tyler Warren, who I'm very confident will be a very good, if not star, tight end. Okay, I think Khalil Dinkins has shown enough he could handle that number two. And now all of a sudden, I can't wait to see Andrew Rapelier and true freshman Luke Reynolds.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I think tight end is probably right there with running back for me in terms of how comfortable you are with the starters being great and the depth being very, very good. And I do think, I mean, not any great revelation here, I understand, but I do think Ty Warren has a chance to just put up crazy numbers this year because of the offense they're running, because of his ability, and because I think some things are going to open up for him with the way this offense will run this year, at least the way I think it will run this year. And so the tight ends as a whole, yes, are going to be great. I still think Ty Warren could just put up ridiculous numbers in the upcoming season. But I'm with you in terms of the depth and wanting to see everybody there. Rapelier, I think, is the next in the long line now of great tight ends at Penn State, but he has two outstanding ones right in front of him. And I agree with you that Reynolds is another one coming right up behind here as well. That is a position that is going to be fun to watch. And I think Penn State is going to do a better job of exploiting the matchup problems that those tight ends pose for opposing defenses.
Well, I'll just wrap up this segment with the quick story from our buddy Landon Tengwall. So on the show, he was talking about how many players like to play basketball. I think playing basketball well translates to athleticism. And I asked him, who's the best basketball player on the team? His answer was Tyler Warren. That kind of thing, Jeff, tells you what kind of skill set that he has for that position. I'm with you. This could be a monster year for him.
Yeah, I really think if he stays healthy, I think he has a chance to be nationally recognized as the best tight end in the country and just one of the top players in college football this season. I think that's the type of season I think that this could be for him. And if it is, I think that bodes well for this Penn State offense as a whole.
Very good, Jeff. That is it for quarter number two. We still got a second half of our show to go. Stick around. We'll be right back after this break. Are you ready to elevate your game day experience? Then it's time for turnkey tailgating with Revel XP. You get to tailgate close to Beaver Stadium with our exclusive area next to the soccer field. Revel XP will provide the tent, the chairs, table, even the cooler and ice. We even partner with local food and beverage providers to cater your tailgate event. As someone has enjoyed tailgating with Revel XP, I know you're going to love it. Go to RevelXP.com for more info.
Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number three. He's Jeff. I'm Jim. We're talking about Penn State's upcoming spring game. The blue-white game is on Saturday at 2 o'clock. We're all excited about that. And we're also excited about doing some tailgating. Jeff, we talked totally offense in our first couple segments. The one place we didn't hit, and I want to hit real quick before we get to the defense, and that's the offensive line. And part of what makes that fascinating is you have a situation where both tackles, starting tackles from last season, have moved on. They'll be playing on Sundays. The guy you assumed would be the starting left tackle, Drew Shelton, he's on the shelf for spring practice, so he won't be there. Boy, does that open up opportunities for people. And probably the closest to, I don't even want to say a given, but Anthony Donka, who last year as a true freshman didn't burn his red shirt, but he managed to play right tackle in the bowl game, and I think impressed everybody. But we've got Nolan Rucci, we got a bunch of young guys. I think seeing who plays tackle is going to be really fascinating.
Completely agree with you, and I'm also curious to see if there's any noticeable difference between pass blocking and run blocking with those guys, and whether or not there's somebody that's doing a better job of just incorporating everything into their game. But, yeah, I think the offensive line and the battles there, at least for me, are probably as intriguing as anything here in spring practice and going into preseason practices as well, because I do think there's improved depth there for sure. But I think you would like to see kind of five guys that are, hey, this is our starting group. And yeah, we might spell a guy here or there, but you'd like to have an offensive line that kind of rolls, if healthy, with five guys that just know they can go out, have a feel for each other, have understanding of the offense and all of that, and can just kind of go out and take over a game when they need to. And I think that's the ideal. And then obviously you'd like to have five really good guys so that if somebody does get hurt right behind them, that's fine. But I think you'd really like to get kind of a clear cut in an ideal world, a clear cut five guys that are, this is our center, our guards, and our tackles, and we're ready to roll with this group.
I'm with you that that has to be the goal. I just wonder, I think it's going to be till late August till we know that, though, Jeff.
Oh, I agree. And I don't think that's a bad thing in and of itself. Again, I think that competition there, and there's different ways you can look at that. I mean, it's always the old, well, if you have two quarterbacks, you don't have one. That's not necessarily the case. If you have two elite talents at any position and they're battling it out, or three elite talents, the fact that you have competition doesn't necessarily, I don't subscribe to that means, well, then you don't have a star in the making or anything. I think it means or can mean that you just have really good depth and some really good guys fighting for spots. And I think that is the case here with Penn State this year. And I think, you want there to be, I think from a coach's or and a fan's perspective, you want young guys coming in that it's like, okay, this guy is good enough that he's not making it clear cut, that the guy that's been around the program a while has to be the starter. That is good news, because that means you are continuing to upgrade the talent level that's coming in as they come out of high school. So, yeah, I don't look at it as a negative, but I think you're right that this will be a competition. And I don't know – by the way, I'm saying in an ideal world, I think you have the five that you roll with. I don't think it's a necessity, and I don't know that Penn State is going to have that. I think you may have a couple of spots there where you're alternating guys, at least for the start of the season. And I don't think that's any kind of catastrophic situation for the program either.
No, and I think they've got to figure it out. And as you said, there's extra talent. And the other part to it, Jeff, is you want that starting five to separate themselves, work together, but to think that that five is going to get through a season without an injury, just it's not going to happen, not at offensive line. We've seen situations where three starters have been down, and you've got to roll with it. We're seeing it already with Drew Shelton out, the presumed man at left tackle. But what I like is there seems to be a bit of veteran and young guy thing going on. When Nolan Rucci comes in, J.B. Nelson is a guy who's played a lot of guard but is capable of playing tackle. Then, a Javen Williams and Anthony Donka, who are, have maintained their freshman status after a year. But it's like, are they ready to make the next step? And I think the other position on the offensive line that's fascinating is the center position, where Nick Dawkins has been around for several years. This is his opportunity. He's been a good soldier, waited for this opportunity. And don't you know it, you've got another one of those guys who should still be in high school, who's like the talk of the spring in Cooper Cousins. Now, I think Nick Dawkins is going to be the guy, at least to start. But isn't it wonderful that you have a guy you feel that positive about to be the next in line?
Well, yes, and I also think it is a great situation for Penn State that it is a guy like Dawkins that you have at the forefront, because that is a guy that really is all about team first, has a great gregarious personality, and I think is, regardless of how things play out there, I think he is a guy that is going to be very willing to take Cousins under his wing, kind of show him the ropes, understanding that he may be ultimately, helping to kind of coach himself out of a job. I think Dawkins, I probably know him, and I don't know him well. I don't want to present it like, hey, we're buddies, but I've had a chance to talk with him, I think more than anybody else on this year's team. And by the way, so this is like three conversations compared to none for most of the guys, just so we're clear on where I'm at. But I'm telling you that this guy just comes across as such a genuine, hey, whatever it takes to get our team to be the best it can be, sign me up. And I think that is just a nice situation to have. Dawkins obviously wants to be the starter. I think can be very effective as the starter. And, you know, in an ideal world, I think you get Cousins, you know, in five games, retain everything and let him go. Then the next 4 years would be the ideal. And Dawkins takes over and plays at a high level and you have no worries about that. That would be, I think, for all involved, the ideal situation. But, you know, if Cousins becomes such a force that you just can't keep him off the field, I think Dawkins is one of the few guys that is like, oh, if it makes our team better, cool. We'll keep at it. If you need me, I'm here. And I just think it's that's a really good situation that Penn State has going on at center.
I think it is too. All right, let's shift over to the defense. And Jeff, is everybody's eyes just going to be laser focused on the defensive side? There's this new defensive end position change. Abdul Carter, heard of him?
I think we'll see how this new defensive end fares. But I think the other – and, yes, there will be a lot of eyes on that and seeing how that transition is going. I think there will be an equal number of eyes on Tony Rojas and how well he is looking with his progression and, you know, how well he fills in the role that Abdul Carter is kind of leaving behind. The other guy that I got to tell you, Jim, I'm really excited to see is Kobe King and kind of what he brings to the table there in the middle. I think while the depth is not proven at linebacker, I think those two guys in particular have a chance to really be big number guys in terms of tackles and you know, overall statistics, pass breakups, all of that stuff. I think those two guys could put up some big numbers here in the upcoming season.
And James Franklin has pretty much just said, okay, we've got two linebackers that we're confident in, and they're Tony Rojas and Kobe King. It's like they're the given, and we'll see about the rest. And the part to that I think will be fascinating is we've been hearing this conversation about, we know there are three really good safeties that they have and that they may play as a base defense, a 4-2, meaning two linebackers and three safeties. And with the nature of today's college football, that seems to make a lot of sense to me, especially when you have the talent there that they do at safety.
Yeah, and I think when you have the talent that Penn State does at defensive end, where you can get some pressure on the quarterbacks as well. To me, what this says, Jim, is that this team is doing what James Franklin said it would do, which is figure out schematically what makes the most sense for the talent you have. And I think a 4-2 with what this defense has and with what it brings at safety – and, yeah, in today's game, I think the versatility that gives you on the defensive side of the ball is also significant. I think there's a lot of different ways that this team can attack opposing offenses with that type of a scheme and with the personnel they have. And to me, as a fan, I think it's going to be really exciting to see what Penn State dials up and how the subtle changes, I guess, in the scheme from week to week that this type of a defense gives you, where one week maybe you go a little blitz happy, another week you just, you know, maybe even drop an Abdul Carter back into coverage from time to time. I just think there's a lot of different things with the personnel they have and with that 4-2 look that this defense can give you that can really cause problems for opposing offenses and especially opposing passing games.
Most definitely. And yes, don't think that, okay, that 4-2 with the three safeties, that's going to be every down, okay? It could be different third and one. It could be different on third and 12. It could be different against Michigan than it is against USC, okay? But I think it'll be interesting to see in the spring maybe they don't show us everything, but I think if that's going to be a base defense, we're going to see some of it. Jeff, we've got one more quarter to go. We're going to hit that right after this break. Are you ready to elevate your game day experience? Then it's time for turnkey tailgating with Revel XP. You get to tailgate close to Beaver Stadium with our exclusive area next to the soccer field. Revel XP will provide the tent, the chairs, table, even the cooler and ice. We even partner with local food and beverage providers to cater your tailgate event. As someone has enjoyed tailgating with Revel XP, I know you're going to love it. Go to RevelXP.com for more info.
We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number four. He's Jeff. I'm Jim. We're getting you ready for the big spring game. Blue-white game is on Saturday. I'm really excited about it, Jeff, because it's some football. It's been a long time since. It's going to be a long time till. So let's enjoy this one while we can. We're moved over from offense to defense in our conversation. And a position that we didn't talk about yet, but I think as if you're viewing this game as a fan, you've got to pay some attention to cornerback. A lot going on there. That the quarterback room kind of got decimated by the NFL. You've got three NFL cornerbacks that were there last year who aren't there this year. And besides the fact that you are missing those three guys, you've got, young guys who have to step up. It's also a position where you had two big-time transfer portal players coming in. And that doesn't even mention the transfer portal player that came in last year in Davis Collins, who came in a year ago and could play a part this year. You've really got to pay attention to cornerback, don't you?
You do. And I think that's an exciting group, though, even though you're, no question, lost a lot of talent. You have some new talent coming in. You have some guys that have been biding their time and waiting for the opportunity here to jump out there. So I do, I'm probably most excited just to see AJ Harris. I just want to see kind of what it is he brings to the table, but he and Cam Miller are obviously, key guys that I think fans are going to be keyed in on here and, hoping to see good things on Saturday and then even better things moving into the fall. It's another position where I think there's some good competition there, Jim, and I think they do have good depth. It's a matter now of seeing, all right, in-game situations against big-time quarterbacks, big-time receivers, how does that position in particular, the defense as a whole, but that position in particular hold up? And as always, it's not just, that you can have great cornerbacks, and if you're not getting any pressure on the quarterback for the other team, it doesn't matter. Eventually, the best cornerbacks are going to give up coverage. So we talk all the time about football being the ultimate team game. Yes, you need great cornerback play, but what helps that cornerback play is getting great line play, getting great linebacker play, getting great safety play. And I think Penn State is in good shape in all of those other facets of the defense. And again, it's unproven here at Penn State, but I like the talent that Penn State has here in that cornerback room.
Yes, and this goes back, and we've talked about it before, and I'm sure we will again. James Franklin's use of the portal, it's, not the shotgun approach. It's very much rifling in on exactly where they need help. He identified cornerback, and he brought in two very good players from the Southeast Conference. So, credit to him for being very strategic in his use of the portal. But it's, again, one of those things that we want to see. All right, like you said, we haven't seen those guys here at Penn State, so we want to see what they have. We talked about Abdul Carter at defensive end. We haven't talked about much of the rest of the defensive line, but I think it's worth mentioning again, probably, and this is so different than a year or two ago, at defensive tackle. Do you have any concern at all? They're veterans. They're all back. They're deep.
And they don't play Michigan this year. And that running. Let me just throw that in there. But I'm with you. I think that group, got better last year. And yeah, certainly I think has a chance to be just a dominant force in the upcoming season.
I love that. And that not playing Michigan might be the most important point there. Kind of scouring through all the positions, who are the players we haven't mentioned yet, Jeff, that you say, you know what, it'll be interesting to see them play. Will they step up? Who else is left that we didn't hit on yet?
Oh, boy. That is a... Well, some of the other linebackers probably. I mean, you kind of know what you have in DeLuca, and I like what you have in DeLuca, but maybe seeing like Wiley and Tamir Robinson and kind of what
Kavion Keys is another one.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Keys. Yeah. And just kind of again where they're at with their development, what it looks like, and again, I don't know how much we actually. We'll learn and whatever we see here on Saturday, but those are guys that that probably Elsden that would be in there too. Guys that I'm curious to see kind of where they're at with their development and what it's looking like for them here on Saturday. Those are probably just trying to think off the top of my head. The depth at linebacker is probably. For me, the next kind of biggest question, just in terms of, hey, how many guys does it feel like Penn State has ready to play if you run into some injury situations or unforeseen issues with the starters there at linebacker?
I am particularly interested in Tamir Robinson and Kavion Keys. Robinson, I know he had the injury late in his high school career, but he was very highly regarded. And then Kavion Keys, they're talking about him so much that it'll be interesting to see what kind of play those two get. Obviously, they're going to see time, so we are going to get a chance to see them. That will be some of my focus.
Yeah, I think other than that, not from a player standpoint, and again, I don't know that we'll actually learn anything, but I am just curious to see schematically what this thing is going to look like in the fall, and we may not find out at all here on Saturday, or we might just get a glimpse, but both offensively and defensively, I am excited to see how Penn State approaches trying to set up their opponents, again, on both sides of the ball and utilize the talent they have. I really think this could be one of the more exciting seasons for Penn State just because of the versatility that I think they have on both sides of the ball. And I think with the new coordinators coming in, it's one of those things, Jim, where I think it is playing out opposite of what you would expect or at least instinctively think, which is I think there's been a better understanding of what it is they're trying to accomplish by players and coaches. I think that communication from everything we're hearing has been better this year, and I think they'll go into the summer with a better understanding maybe than they even did last year when you had returning coordinators just because of the emphasis that there was on, hey, we need to be on the same page within the coaching staff before spring practice. And just listening to players and coaches alike, I think it was Terry Smith, was it yesterday? Or anyways, earlier this week, Smith said, yeah, this is probably the most productive spring we've had since I've been back as a coach here. And I think that general sentiment seems to be there throughout the team that this is – been a really good spring in terms of everybody getting on the same page and kind of buying in that, yep, this is our best approach, and this is the way we need to roll moving forward.
I'm not sure how much he'll play, but what would you like to see from Drew Aller?
I'd just like to see more interceptions and throwing the ball up willy-nilly downfield, Jim. That's what I want to see. Just 50-50 balls and take your chances. No, listen, I really do. I would like to see more chances taken downfield. But what I'm really looking for is Saturday, and he actually did a good job of this last year, but I think there's going to be more emphasis on – let's really get this short passing game going and get a bunch of different people involved. I think not unlike we saw in the West Virginia game a year ago, like that I think is what you're going to see on a regular basis in the upcoming season. I think you're going to get the running backs more involved. We talked earlier about Tyler Warren. So I think for Drew Aller, I mean, you know, statistically, I don't know that I'm looking for anything here on Saturday. It's more, again, the overall approach. And yes, in the upcoming season, I would like to see, again, not a crazy number, but yeah, four or five really good shots downfield to help open things up and you know, hopefully connect on at least a couple of those to give the offense some big marquee plays to go with what I think is going to be a very effective and efficient short game with the offense this year.
You know, it's my opinion, Jeff, the willy-nilly factor on quarterbacks is so underrated. It really is. Yeah. In measuring the quality of a quarterback. You know, Jeff, I'm usually the guy who doesn't like the non-tangible things when talking, you know, there's a team culture, this, that, the other stuff. But I'm going to use this. What I'm looking for from Drew Aller is swagger. I want him to walk on the field like he owns it. It's his team. He's confident. He's confident in where the receivers are going to be. He's the guy. He's the man. And if he does throw an interception, shrug his shoulders and say, not a big deal. I'll get it the next time around. I want to see that. I want to just see how he carries himself, and hopefully he will do it with that kind of swagger, Jeff.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. You know, although I will say, even if you see it Saturday, and I'm with you, I'd love to see that. I want to see it more so in the Ohio State game, in the USC, you know, so on and so forth. But yes, I don't disagree that hey, this is my offense. I know what I'm doing. I know what everybody else is doing. I'm with you. I think that's going to be key for this offense to be successful in the upcoming season.
Well, if he's not confident Saturday, I don't think he will be when they face Ohio State. All right, Jeff.
That's not going well.
Saturday, 2:00. Beaver Stadium, it's the blue-white game. Can't wait for it. All excited about it. All excited for the tailgating prior. That's it for our show. We'll talk about this game next week when we get back with more Keystone Kickoff Show. Are you ready to elevate your game day experience? Then it's time for turnkey tailgating with Revel XP. You get to tailgate close to Beaver Stadium with our exclusive area next to the soccer field. Revel XP will provide the tent, the chairs, table, even the cooler and ice. We even partner with local food and beverage providers to cater your tailgate event. As someone has enjoyed tailgating with Revel XP, I know you're going to love it. Go to RevelXP.com for more info.